The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
It's a Thursday morning, and we're glad to have you with us on another episode of the Frozen Rope Report. Kevin McAlpin here with you, and we got lots to get to coming up on today's show, including a full rundown of what you may have missed from last night's action. Braves take down the Nationals 5-3 as they have won back-to-back ball games and a chance at a sweep here this afternoon. Matinee baseball coming your way as the Braves take on the Nats 4:05 p.m. Eastern, and we'll have a full rundown of last night, preview of today's action, and we'll take you inside the clubhouse to hear from some of the heroes from last night's 5-3 win for the Braves. We'll also take a peek at this date in baseball history and some of the other action from around Major League Baseball as well. Lots to get to, and we are glad to have you with us here on a Thursday morning. Well, 5-3 was your final as the Braves won their second consecutive game. They have now taken the series from the Washington Nationals behind not only Max Fried's first start in 3 weeks, but Marcell Ozuna, a grand slam in the third inning, the sixth of his career, and already the fourth grand slam of the season for the Braves offense. What they have done here lately, back-to-back nights, oh, by the way, that the Braves have hit a grand slam. Remember, Waskar Ynoa did it the night before. So who's going to hit the grand slam today? Well, time will tell. I don't know if there's any way we can actually predict that, and if it's ever happened for a team where they've had three consecutive games with a grand slam, that would certainly be fun to scramble for the record books. But again, Max Fried back on the mound last night, went five really solid innings, gave up a run on four hits, walked one, and struck out six. He did give up a solo home run to Yan Gomes. That was in the fourth inning. However, he had a 5-0 lead at that time, so I'm totally fine with that in that situation. You can live with a solo home run when you have a 5-0 lead. But Marcell Ozuna, offensively, the story of the night. Boy, he really enjoyed his fourth home run of the year last night. The low five from EY going around the bases, a stutter step between first and second, some gestures between second and third. He gave Wash a pretty good five there. I mean, Marcell's a guy that plays with a lot of energy. He loves this game. He plays with a lot of passion. I don't know if anybody talks to themselves in the batter's box more than Marcell Ozuna, but good to see him get it going. He had a single in the fifth as well, so 2-for-4 on the night for the Braves left fielder. And how about William Contreras last night? A two-hit game for the 23-year-old catcher. He hit his first career home run. That was in the fourth inning, a solo shot that would come off of Eric Fetty. So the Braves take down the Nationals 5-3. But again, the story of the night was Max Fried. You're going to hear from Max in just a couple of moments. We'll also hear from Marcell Ozuna and Brian Snitker, get their thoughts on what they saw from their ball club last night. As far as the Nationals were concerned, hey, you did a pretty decent job against Trey Turner. Noted Brave killer, that is, Trey Turner. He did have a two-run home run in the eighth inning. That came off of Josh Tomlin. For Turner, it was his seventh homer of the year. His 16th in 84 lifetime games against the Braves. But the good news was he got him to fly out in the first. He got him to ground out to Freeman in the third. Somehow you turned a double play on him in the fifth, and then he flew out for the final out of the ballgame last night. So, look, if it's a 1-for-5 night and Turner has to settle for a 2-run homer and you win the game, I'm okay with that. I can live with that one because Trey Turner has just absolutely worn out the Braves over the last couple of seasons. I've joked about this before. Boy, if he played the Braves 162 times a year, he'd probably go into Cooperstown in the next 4 or 5 seasons. I mean, he is a special player. He's hard to keep off the bases. When he gets on first, you know he's thinking two. The stolen base numbers are tremendous for Trey Turner. So hopefully Drew Smyly can help neutralize him a little bit here one more time, get the Braves out of town. And they got a chance at a sweep here, but they've got to get through John Lester first. And we'll talk about that matchup here in just a little while. Saw this tweet last night, by the way. Ronald Acuna Jr., rather quiet night for him last night. He did have his fourth stolen base of the season. He walked, stole a base, and scored a run in the third. He scored on Ozuna's grand slam. But Ryan Spader, I saw this one. He is part of he's an MLB analyst for National professionally. And if you want to follow him on Twitter, he's at the Ace of Spader, S-P-A-E-D-E-R. Puts out some really great information over the years. Braves Ronald Acuna Jr., how about these numbers? His last 162 games played, Acuna has scored 159 runs. He's hit 50 home runs. He's stolen 40 bases, and he's done that over his last quote-unquote full season, if you will, his last 162 games. It's remarkable what we get to watch every single night here in Atlanta. Braves fans are certainly spoiled getting a chance to watch who I would consider the best and most exciting player in the game right now. And I'm not just saying that because we are the home of the Braves and we cover Acuna and I've gotten to know him over the years. I'm saying it because I think it's true. He's a really, really special player. And he's off to a great start this year. How about an 1126 OPS as we enter play on May the 6th? I don't know if that's sustainable for another 5 months, but hey, if it is, he'll be the National League MVP. So we'll see what happens here over the next couple of months as far as Ronald Acuna Jr. is concerned. As far as action from around Major League Baseball, yesterday the big story was John Means. And a lot of you are probably saying, who the heck is John Means? Starting pitcher, Baltimore Orioles. He threw a no-hitter yesterday. He walked nobody. He struck out 10. The only blemish that kept him from throwing a perfect game was a strikeout wild pitch, and that happened in the middle of the game yesterday. John Means, congratulations to him. Already the third no-hitter of the season around Major League Baseball, and if you want to count Madison Bumgarner, some of you do, some of you don't. You could say it's the fourth with an asterisk next to Bumgarner, but congratulations to John Means. He picks up the win as he no-hits the Seattle Mariners yesterday afternoon, 10 punchies. He's 4-0 with a 1.37 ERA. He's probably the best pitcher that no one has ever heard of in Major League Baseball, and his younger brother was waiting to play his minor league game, and there's a really cool video he put up on social media last night of him celebrating in their clubhouse watching the final out. So congratulations to John Means of the Baltimore Orioles. First individual no-hitter for the Orioles since 1969 when Jim Palmer did it. They've had a combined no-hitter. I believe it was a four-pitcher combined no-hitter. But as far as really counting it as individual no-hitters, first time since Jim Palmer did it back in 1969. Elsewhere around Major League Baseball, the Reds, they got past the White Sox 1-0. That was in 10 innings. And yeah, that was a Great American Ballpark. How about the matchup of Dallas Keuchel and Sonny Gray yesterday? Both starting pitchers tossed 7 scoreless innings and allowed just 2 hits. Strikeout numbers a lot better for Gray. He walked 2 and struck out 8. Keuchel walked 3 and struck out 1. Michael Kopech looked really, really solid in that one again. But the Reds get past the White Sox 1-0. Well, I can't imagine there's been a whole lot of 1-0 games played there at Great American Ballpark, or as some of you call it, Great American Small Park. The Mets, they split a doubleheader with the Cardinals yesterday, 4-1 in Game 1, 7-2 in Game 2. Marlins blanked the D-backs. I was talking about this, too. The D-backs, they've come to the East Coast quite a bit in the early portion of their season. They have traveled a lot of miles on the charter. So in the division, the Marlins get past the Diamondbacks 8-0 in South Florida. Phillies squeaked past the Brewers last night 5-4 at Citizens Bank Park. That was a game that got a little dicey late for Philadelphia, but they held on to win. Chase Anderson, 4 1/3, 3 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, 2 Ks. Offensively, not a whole lot doing for the Phillies. They only had 4 hits in the win, but they did get past the Brewers 5-4. Brewers without Christian Yelich once again. Well, he comes off the IL, plays one game, and goes right back on the injured list. That's tough to see. As far as other games around Major League Baseball that have stood out, the Cubs, they bested the Dodgers yesterday. Boy, the Dodgers have fallen on some hard times. They're just 17-15. They were 13-4 to start the year. They have fallen on a really hard couple of weeks here. I guess they've proved they're human after all. Cubs over the Dodgers, they walked that one off in the bottom of the 11th. Walker Buehler was solid for Los Angeles last night, but Clevinger suffered the loss. He falls to 0-3 as he gave up the walk-off last night as the Cubs got past Los Angeles. Anthony Rizzo with the walk-off base hit that would score Matt Duffy. So Cubs beat the Dodgers. Cubs game under 500. Dodgers just two games over 500. But believe me, I think they'll be just fine when all is said and done. It is May the 6th, 2021. Happy 90th birthday to Willie Mays. The Say Hey Kid turns 90 today. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of the memories as far as Willie Mays is concerned. And there's a lot of great articles on MLB.com. Of course, the catch is one that everyone remembers. You want to get lost in a baseball reference page? Check out Willie Mays. I mean, I'm sure a lot of you have already done that. But again, 90 years old today. Two-time MVP. He was the Rookie of the Year back in 1951. Of course, did not play in 1953 as he was serving his country in the military. A 24-time All-Star. He won the World Series in 1954. He won a batting title. He won 12 Gold Gloves. Two-time All-Star. Two-time All-Star MVP. And, he did everything. Two MVPs, an MVP campaign for him in 1954, a season that saw him hit 345 with 33 doubles, 13 triples, 41 homers. He drove in 110 and he scored 119 runs during that 1954 campaign. And then another MVP for the Say Hey Kid in 1965, a season that saw him just about hit 400. Almost a 400 on base. He hit 317 in 1965 with 21 doubles, 3 triples, 52 home runs, and 112 RBIs on the season for Willie Mays. 6 seasons of at least 40 or more home runs. And of course, he finished his Hall of Fame career with 660 home runs. So happy 90th birthday to Willie Mays. And a guy that, you know, all the years I went to San Francisco, he was one of those guys I always hoped I'd bump into in the tunnel or in the press box. Never had a chance to meet Willie Mays. And who knows, maybe someday, down the road, the next year or two, maybe that'll happen. That's one where we talk a lot about meeting Hank Aaron and what a thrill and a treat and a pleasure it was to be around Hank for all those years. Willie would be, that's one that would be added to the bucket list. So maybe it'll happen. I'll keep my fingers crossed here. But happy 90th birthday to Willie Mays. All right, we're going to step aside for a quick break. When we return, we will take you inside the Braves clubhouse at Nationals Park. We'll hear from Brian Snitker, Max Fried, and Marcell Ozuna. And of course, we'll take a look at this date in baseball history as well. Lots more to get to, and we're glad to have you with us on a Thursday morning here on the Braves Radio Network.
Follow the Podcast Park on social media for live updates as new episodes hit and behind-the-scenes looks at all our shows. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Podcast Park.
We continue here on the Frozen Rope Report for your Thursday morning. Glad to have you with us. Don't forget, Chris and I will have the Ford Leadoff Show coming your way today at 2:50 p.m. Eastern. Braves and Nationals at 4:05 with Ben and Jim on the call right here on the Braves Radio Network. A couple of lefties, Drew Smyly for the Braves, John Lester for the Washington Nationals. And again, the Braves have a chance to sweep the Nationals right out of their own ballpark. Both these teams traveling after the game. Braves are coming home. Nationals are headed to New York to take on the Yankees for some interleague play here this weekend. All right, time now to go inside the clubhouse in Washington. Let's first hear from the skipper, Brian Snitker, get his thoughts on what he saw from Max Fried, Marcell Ozuna, and much more. Here is Snit following last night's 5-3 win.
Snit, did that feel like a lot more like Max was like himself tonight?
I thought, as even in the first inning, he started out a little slow. Then it kind of like he got in the flow of things. That's as good as the stuff's been all year since we started here. And like I say, you could see in the first inning, second, you know, he started getting a flow and a rhythm, and the stuff started being live again. And yeah, that was really encouraging to see.
He talked about, he saw something in his mechanics to get behind it, the power of the pitch, you know, to drive it, that he wasn't doing that before he went on the DL. It looked like his stuff was back tonight, movement on
it. It was back. The breaking ball, sinker had good life. I mean, as fast as he was popping it, you know, fastball was coming out of his hand really good. It just looked more like Max tonight.
How about Ozuna? That's 3 homers now in 7 games after I think he hit 1 before that.
Yeah, no, it's good. Big. I just kind of felt like at some point in time when they start walking the bases loaded to get to one of these two guys, that one of them's going to pop, you know. It's just a matter of time. And, you know, he got a little something to show for his efforts tonight, and that's good. Maybe it'd be what gets him going.
You talked about Contreras' opposite field power. We saw it several times in spring training. You showed that again.
Man, that was yeah, he's just a very confident kid. You know, I watch him, and it's like he, like I said earlier today, he thinks he's where he belongs. I mean, and there's something to that. He's done a great job.
With Max, how comforting can that be to know that he can be right back there and there to pitch every 5 days? And how?
Oh, man. Man, are you kidding me? When you got you know, you got a guy that got Cy Young votes last year, and we missed him for a little extended period. And, you know, he didn't have the greatest start. So, you know, we kind of said this might end up being a blessing in disguise where you can kind of just regroup a little bit. And like I say, do some study and see. And, you know, if he stays the course right here, it's going to be huge for us.
And when he gets through that fifth inning, I don't know where the pitch limit was or when you were saying enough's enough. How encouraging was it just to see that competitive,
you know? It was good, you know, because the big thing was is he didn't really have many stressful innings up to the fifth. And to see him fight his way through and then make the play, you know, that he did and make the pitches. And it was actually – it couldn't have went any better as far as all that goes because he kind of – and he exactly, you know, we were thinking 575, something like that. And when he had the kind of – you know, a stressful fifth. We knew that then he was done, but that actually couldn't win any better. Like I said,
and for men to battle there against Gomes, that was that's
wow.
A
big... huge. I wanted to try and stay away from Minter tonight. I mean, but you know, he's throwing really good and never gave in and kept making pitches and you know, and it was big too. You know, I mean, he just missed on the one with off of Schwarber, you know, so, but he just, he's been really good too. Can't say enough about what Mint's done.
Schwarber works that 8-pitch walk and loads them, but then he gets a pop-up to get out of that. I mean, that's.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, he never gives in. That's the thing about Mint. He never gives in. And he's been through those situations many, many times in his career. And like I say, I wanted to try and give him a day, but you know, coming off the inning yesterday, kind of a, you know, he just, I'm glad he didn't have to pitch the way he did. He ended up pitching a full inning, even though we didn't want him to, but it was just good. That was big. Huge. You know, it's a huge win to take the series because we expended a lot of energy in this game.
Yes. That was a long
Santana so far. Sorry.
Sorry, Gabe.
Yeah, what have you thought of Edgar Santana so far?
I like the sinker. I really like the sinker. That was big tonight, too, for him. He's pulling his breaking ball a little bit, which I think, you know, his breaking ball we can work with that. But I just like the sinker this kid's got. It's real.
That was a long, kind of colorful home run trot by Ozuna. What do you think of that in general? And do you think he was just working out a little frustration there?
I don't think anything, you know, in today's game, I don't even pay attention to all that stuff. When I turn on ESPN and MLB Network, I see it every night. So I don't even pay attention to it.
Any last ones for Snit? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Dave.
Snit, you guys, you kind of get the built-in Trey Turner big hit or two and you still win. I guess that's
I mean, Trey Turner. Yeah, it's good, right? I mean, yeah. Because it's like for all the years that he's been here, I mean, that he is some kind of good player and steady and consistent and always in the middle of something. I mean, and it seems like, too, every time you turn around, he's coming up. But yeah, he is really – I have so much respect for that kid and how he plays the game and the consistency and just the player that he is.
Snit, on their side, they wanted me to ask, well, when you're on the other side of an immaculate inning, do you even know that it happened? When Finnegan had an immaculate inning there.
I don't pay attention. I don't even realize that, quite honestly.
Yeah.
I got so many things going on in my head. That's the last thing that.
Yeah.
Your head's
I just know he was really sharp and he was on the attack, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Snit had to really be thrilled about what he saw from Max Fried. I think a deep sigh of relief for everybody involved to see him get back on track. Fried, one run, four hits, five innings. He walked one and struck out six. He did give up that solo home run to Yan Gomes, but you can live with that when you have a five-run lead. Here's Fried talking about his first win of the 2021 season.
Well, you were driving the ball, and it seemed like that was showing tonight. Your stuff looked a lot crisper. Did you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Felt like I was very much on the attack, just trying to, just attack, get early contact, try to just, make our defense work, keep the pace up. Felt like it was something that was just getting a little slow and dragging on before, so I just wanted to kind of just get the, keep my foot on the gas and just keep it going.
Max, when you went back and looked, you felt like you were flying open. Is it too simple just to say you were rushing your delivery? Is that too simple to describe what you were doing?
I think it was a lot of rushing and also just trying to make the perfect pitch. Felt like I had to put it in the perfect spot instead of just more using my stuff to be on the attack, kind of like I was saying. You get caught sometimes trying to, go through the motions instead of just going and worrying about competing. And I'm at my best when I'm not thinking and I'm leaving it all out there and I'm competing and just giving it everything I have. So I just wanted to kind of simplify the mentality, just stay on time and make sure that I was putting myself in the best position to succeed.
Did you feel like yourself tonight?
Yeah, I felt this is the closest that I felt back to what I consider myself that I've had this year.
How about Contreras? Is he, we've seen what he can do with the bat. How good is he back there behind the plate as well?
He's really good at making in-game adjustments and being able to see the game and kind of whether it's go against a game plan or, noticing something that's working and kind of riding with it. He's really good at being able to just be aware of that. And then also communicating with me of what are you feeling? How are you doing? We had a good back and forth in the dugout in between innings. And, we were working really well tonight.
Have you seen a catcher that athletic before?
I don't know if I can talk in definites, but he's definitely really special back there. You know that he's going to be able to block everything. And obviously he's got a cannon for an arm. So, when you're able to have a guy back there that can move around and, that's going to keep the ball, in front, if it's make a so-so pitch, it's really nice to have.
At what point in time were you kind of confident? Was it, you hurt the hamstring 3 weeks ago, started throwing about a week or two ago, whatever. At what point in time did you say, okay, the curveball's there, the slider's there, my command is there? You had a good feel for what might happen tonight.
I would say more so between my last live and then the preparation I did in between, just feeling like I was maybe a little off, tweaked a few things, just kind of got back to the timing of making sure my arm got up and then, allowing my stuff to really just work in the zone instead of trying to make a perfect pitch on the corner.
Between you having your best start of the year and Ozuna making them pay for Walk and Freddie, did it start to feel like a little like last year now, more like you guys, the team from last year?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And, Ozuna's, coming up in that situation and especially hitting that ball the way he did, that looked a lot like what he was doing last year. And, especially with the way he was hitting the ball last night too, spraying the ball around and hitting really hard line drives, you can see he's taking really good at bats and, he's looking like he's really back on the right track.
From the winning pitcher to the guy that gave him some early run support, Marcell Ozuna, a grand slam for the Big Bear in the top of the third inning, his fourth home run of the season, his sixth grand slam of his career. And let's hear from Marcell Ozuna, get his thoughts on not only what he saw from Max Fried, the grand slam, how much fun he had rounding the bases, and more. Here is Marcell Ozuna following last night's victory.
So you look like yourself a lot more in the last week or so. Are you feeling better at the plate?
Yeah, a little better. You know, I've been working every day. I get my timing back. Sometimes I pull off too much. A lot of ground out this year to the pitcher, so it's made me a little frustrated. But I'm going to be fine.
How about when they walked Freddie to get to you? You made him pay a lot of times last year. Did it feel good to do it again this time?
Yeah. You know, last when in New York, they did that. I didn't get success. So yesterday they did that too. Like you just get Papa to the center field. So today when I saw that Ronnie steal the base and then I saw the manager down to the dugout and say like four. And I say, and I would start laughing and like, and then looking up and like a little pray, like, God, please give me the opportunity to write only two or get a base hit to write one or two. And I just see the pitch and just swinging, so not a stop. Because I didn't swing in a fair at bat. Just seeing five pitch strike out.
Yeah.
And I say, okay, let's go, ready to swing.
Marcell, when you go the other way, do you feel like or hit for power the other way? Do you feel like you're getting that much closer?
Yeah. I feel when I go to the other way, I feel like I'm there. I just trying to realize and don't worry about like anything else in out of the zone. So it's like looking the pitch there and just swinging because I got power to hit everywhere. I just don't trust sometimes.
What have you thought of Contreras so far? That kid's got some opposite field power, doesn't he?
I know since I met him last year, he can play the ball, and he had long career to learn and do damage in baseball. It's because he's gonna be better than his brother.
How about
Max Fried tonight? Was he like last year's Max Fried?
Close. He's close to. He go out there and. Putting good number there, so I like the way that he pitches most of the time, and that outing that he threw tonight is for me is like a kind of the back.
Marcell, after the last series getting swept, how big is it to go on the road and win the series and have a chance at a sweep tomorrow?
What you say? Oh, yeah. They pay to us back, and I pay, and we can pay back. So that's baseball. So we don't worry about like losing games, sweeping, especially a small park. Everything that you hit there is a homer, and we didn't play as well a lot during the spring and during the season. And I last time that I played there, it was in 2012. When I wasn't with the Miami Marlins, I play high A, and I just go for 3 days, and when the field is terrible there, so it's not mine. We get sweep and we can pay back to the other team. Somebody had to pay.
Hey Marcell, you've played with some really good hitting pitchers in Miami and St. Louis. What have you thought of so far? Is he the best hitting pitcher you've seen?
For me, he can hit ball. But Fernandez too. Fernandez can hit too. So he loves hitting. Every time he bet with my teammate, like, and people get in because they didn't know, then they realize that he's gonna hit a homer off the tee from home play. And he did that a lot and get money, like let me bet some, let me bet a dinner. So let's go bet a dinner, I'm gonna hit a homer off the tee, and people doesn't trust and get in.
Fernandez?
Yeah. Fernandez is a pretty good hitter. And then Carlos Martinez, he likes to hit him too. And Flaherty.
Yeah.
He can hit. And
Wainwright.
You know, it's pretty cool. I like the way that he had. Yeah. Yesterday in the second at bat, when he hit a fly ball to right field, He said, "Oh my God, I missed it. I missed it. You will see next time." And then I'm not surprised because I called him the first homer at home when Henry was pitching. I was telling Rizzo, "It's gonna be homer left field. Look." He said, No, it's a curveball. Watch. And then as soon as he hit it, I was crazy down the dugout and looking at and yelling at Rizzo like, I told you. And he said, "You're right." And then tipping hat. That was funny.
Well, he couldn't wipe the smile off Ozuna's face last night. And pretty high praise for William Contreras. Said he thinks he's going to be better than his brother. Of course, that's pretty high praise for a guy that in Wilson Contreras, that's a two-time All-Star and World Series champion for the Chicago Cubs. So we appreciate Marcell Ozuna, Max Fried, and Brian Snitker. And hopefully this time tomorrow, we're talking about another victory and a sweep as the Braves come home for the Philadelphia Phillies starting tomorrow. All right, time for this date in baseball history. It was on this date, May the 6th of 1915, at the Polo Grounds, Red Sox rookie pitcher Babe Ruth collects three hits, including his first home run. Homer number one, as well as homer number two, hit 2 weeks later, would come off the same pitcher, Yankees pitcher Jack Crab Warhop, on this date in 1915. Red Sox rookie pitcher Babe Ruth got his first home run, the first of 714 over his Hall of Fame career. All right, it was also on this date, May the 6th of 1925, Ty Cobb hits his fifth home run in two games as he would tie Cap Anson's 1884 record. The Tigers outfielder would lead his team to an 11-4 victory over the Browns at Sportsman's Park. So on this date, 1925, Ty Cobb hit his fifth home run in two games. Also on this date in 1937, the Dodgers and Giants fans at both the Polo Grounds and Ebbets Field are thrilled to have the opportunity to catch a glimpse of the Hindenburg when the passenger airship appears over New York City, nearing the end of its maiden voyage of the season from Germany. A couple of hours later, the big German airship would explode on a landing strip in Lakehurst, New Jersey, killing 36 of its passengers. But before it did, fans in both the Polo Grounds and Ebbets Field were treated to seeing the world-famous airship as it sailed over New York City. All right, it was also on this date in, let's see, there was a couple others I was looking at here this morning. It was also on this date on May the 6th of 1972. The Angels made quick work of Milwaukee as they beat the visitors 2-0 at Anaheim Stadium. Andy Messersmith had a two-hit masterpiece. It took 1 hour and 31 minutes to complete, making it the shortest nine-inning game in franchise history. 1 hour, 36 minutes. 1 hour, 36 minutes in now here in 2021. I think we're in like the third or fourth inning. So there you go. On this date in Anaheim, the Angels over the visiting Brewers 2-0 in 1 hour, 31 minutes. All right, a couple more for you. It was on this date, May the 6th of 1982. Gaylord Perry becomes the 15th major leaguer to win his 300th game as he took down the Yankees at the Kingdome 7-3. Perry would finish his 22-year career with 314 wins. All right, one more for you. It was on this date in 1998 that Cubs rookie right-hander Kerry Wood would tie a major league record when he punched out 20 batters in 9 innings. He held the Astros to just one hit in a 2-0 win at Wrigley Field. He would match Roger Clemens' feat, and the 20-year-old Texan would break the National League record of 19 strikeouts in a 9-inning game. That was shared by Steve Carlton, David Cone, and Tom Seaver. That's if you haven't seen video of that game, you can find that on MLB.com. The ball was just moving all over the place for Kerry Wood on this date in 1998. Well, that's going to do it for our show. We certainly appreciate you hanging out with us here on a Thursday. Don't forget, Braves and the Nationals. Afternoon baseball coming your way on the Braves Radio Network, 680 The Fan, the 680 The Fan mobile app as well. Couple of lefties, Drew Smyly. He's looking for his first win in a Brave uniform. He's taking on John Lester, and we hope you'll join us for all the pregame coverage. Domino and I have the Ford Leadoff Show at 2:50 p.m. Eastern. First pitch with Ben and Jim on the call at 4:05 from the nation's capital. So we will talk to you later on this afternoon. Folks, enjoy your Thursday, and hopefully this time tomorrow we're talking about a sweep of the Washington Nationals.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right, which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.